There's a part in every story when the hero is invited to do something pretty ridiculous, right? Something beyond his comprehension or her ability to see, right? It's usually something that if they knew how it would all play out, they'd probably just say, you know what? I think I'll pass. Heroes are the heart of our stories, right? Rey or Luke Skywalker, Neo Anderson, Frodo Baggins, and each is invited to take a risk. In the church, we speak of this as being called by God, but for us, it's less like a phone call and more like a flash of inspiration. What we receive is an invitation, an offering, opportunity for us to say, this is it. Here's our chance. Is there any wonder these invitations come to the meager and to the lowly, to a young orphan, a simple office worker, or a diminutive hobbit? Symbols of lower status and even lower consequence. The barest of lights in the darkness, the smallest of seeds. And then it comes, right? This moment, an opportunity that comes like it was orchestrated, like it was meant to be, an invitation to leave the comfort of their whole existence, the shelter of a sand-covered relic, the safety of a desk in an office, or the most exquisite example of comfort and safety, the indomitable Bag End in that placid community of the Shire. Modest nothings, unaware of the journey and the adventure that awaits them. These people don't know where they're going, right? They barely know what's next. Is there any better example of our journey than that? We may have goals and dreams and expectations for the future, but we barely control the right now, right? We can't control the rumbling stomach, right? Or the droopiness of our eyelids, or our attention, right? What do I need to get from Kroger? Second breakfast, perhaps? Even now, we can't know what will be said to us, right, at coffee hour, or what traffic will be like when we leave. We suspect and we move on, right? One step in front of another. And when we get the chance to evaluate and consider where we are and what we're doing here, where we're going, we have to, at some point, ask ourselves, who are we following? Really? He invited us on this journey, and we're not sure exactly where we're going, but this person is offering a truth I can't get in safety, right? An understanding I can't get sleeping through Netflix. And in our gospel, there's a fantastic moment in which people are awakened to a new reality. Because John has already, right? He has seen it. He says, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. And then, and I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God. The Spirit coming upon Jesus. He's seen it, and he knows. This is the one, the anointed, blessed by God, Son of God. Jesus is the one. So the next day, John points him out to his disciples as he's coming along, and they see him. John does, right? And right then, they listen, and they see, and they go. Right? John's disciples leave John and go to Jesus. Is John upset about this change of priorities? Embarrassed? Losing his disciples to another prophet, a potential rival, perhaps? I don't think so. John has a different role to play in the story. Heroes are always have someone to help them get to where they need to be. I mean that physically, mentally, emotionally. Luke has Yoda. Frodo has Gandalf, Neo has Morpheus. But sometimes guides can have much smaller roles, like in the Force Awakens, Maz for Rey. She gives Rey the invitation she never expected to receive. John is that kind of minor figure to this bigger story, a story in which a much more powerful person radiates star power throughout the whole thing, right? We often think Jesus is our guide to God. We hear that, and that makes sense. But John serves as a guide for Andrew and another disciple. He shows them the Lamb of God. He names who is before them. That Jesus isn't just some dude, right? He says, look, here is the Lamb of God. John guides them to Jesus. But then what happens? They just start following him, where he's going. They haven't introduced themselves. They haven't said hi. They just start following him. And the scene is almost comical, I think. It would be if we saw it. Because they're literally just walking behind Jesus, straight behind him. Right? He's walking along, and here come these disciples. Oh, he's picked two up. And then he turns and he asks them a question. And it's not the question any of us would ask. I mean, that question is sort of like, what are you doing? That's what we'd ask, right? Or maybe, why are you following me? Seriously, you're creeping me out. Jesus' question is more curious. What are you looking for? May as well be, what is your quest? What drives you to go on this journey? What's the point? So these two follow Jesus. They follow him to follow him. That's the point. To go where the Son of God is going. And the clue that they aren't fellow pilgrims is that they see Jesus as rabbi, their teacher, whom they will follow and observe and serve, and from whom they will learn the faith that he offers. That's how a disciple learns, by following the rabbi, doing what they do. But you start with walking behind, following, watching, listening. They've accepted John's invitation to go on an epic journey, an immersive and transformative learning experience following a rabbi. But the story gives us one more twist almost immediately. Because it's not just going to be the two of them, right? Andrew will invite his brother, right, Simon Peter. He'll be a guide to Jesus for someone else. Like he will again later with the boy who has a couple of fish and some loaves. Right? This is what he does, disciple and guide. He's following the one. He accepted the invitation, right? He's there. And his first response is to share it. He wants his brother to know this feeling, this opportunity. So he goes and he gets him and he brings him to Jesus too. We have found the Messiah, right? It even tells us Messiah means anointed. And he's not claiming it for himself. He says, we have found the anointed one. Right, follow with me. So this season, this new year, offers us a chance to once again write a new story, a new beginning, right? To start over and begin again. And we began our year celebrating the Holy Name and the Epiphany and the baptism, right? Jesus' beginning. But this isn't just our remembering his beginning, but ours, every time. Every time it's a new beginning or an opportunity for a new beginning. Washed clean in the waters of baptism, a chance for a real do-over. And we get this invitation, starting again, new, to follow Jesus like it's the first time, to follow where he leads us, to learn what he teaches us, to become what he transforms us into. And this, let's be honest, this is a really good deal, right? Every year, we get this offer. It's a better offer than you hear on Black Friday, right? This is real. And when we get that bug, we just want to share it, don't we? Right? Share him. This life, this quest, this chance to leave the Shire or the Matrix or even the planet, right? This life as we know it. And we'll need help. So we might want to invite some friends to come along.